Are you back in the office? The COVID-19 pandemic disrupted the way millions of us work, for better or worse. And while many workplaces are back in business, lots of organizations are still operating remotely or fashioning some sort of hybrid schedule that would have been unimaginable a few years ago. Maybe this is an opportunity to rethink what an office is. That's the project Jeremy Meyerson and Philip Ross take up in their new book, Unworking: The Reinvention of the Modern Office. Jeremy is a design writer and Philip is a futurist, and they are co-founders of the WorkTech Academy, an online platform for ideas on the future of work and the workplace. They join us now to share five big ideas from their book.
Hello, I'm Philip Ross, commentator and consultant on the future of work, and the co-founder of the WorkTech Conference and WorkTech Academy with Jeremy Meyerson. Together, we've written a book about the future of work and the reinvention of the modern office. It's called Unworking, and the front cover shows a skyline of office towers passing down through a shredder and emerging as code, the bits and bytes of the digital era. A fitting metaphor, perhaps, for the office moving from a physical container to a more place-independent, software-enabled approach for the 21st century.
I'm Jeremy Meyerson, researcher, writer, professor of design at the Royal College of Art, and director of WorkTech Academy. Unworking is a 100-year history of the development of the modern office, stretching from the early 1920s to the early 2020s. The story starts with crowds swirling on Fifth Avenue in New York in 1925, literally a high point for the modern efficiency-led industrial office. And it ends in the near future with a series of predictions about how our workplaces might become more sentient, social, and sustainable. The central event of the book, of course, is the global pandemic, which shuttered offices around the world, sent everyone home, and prompted the biggest shake-up in working practice for a generation. An event that prompts the question, what comes next?
In the book, we define the term unworking as unraveling how we work, unbundling assumptions about the modern office, and critically unlearning the habits and rituals that have traditionally defined our behaviour at work. So what aspects of the office should be unworked? Here are five things we might unlearn.
Unlearning number one, it's all about experience. Increasingly, the office is no longer a place or even a process. It's an experience. We have to magnetize people to want to come back in, not mandate them. It will be vitally important to think in a more customer-centric way about providing a great workplace experience for employees, who now have a choice of where to work in the hybrid era. This means more consideration for how people feel about work, providing experiences that improve satisfaction and well-being, as well as building culture and purpose. Companies will learn from hospitality, retail, and entertainment about how to curate super experiences so that when people do decide to go back to the office, it will be memorable. Already we're seeing new job titles emerge in organizations such as the Chief Experience Officer, or CXO, Head of Team Anywhere, Chief Heart Officer, and Head of Dynamic Work. These new titles reflect a wider remit beyond efficiency to embrace experience, and a new reality in which employees will work across a variety of settings, not just the office. In the book, we talk about how Google and Zappos are among the companies that have studied incredible participatory experiences, like the Burning Man Festival in the Nevada desert, to find ways to build more effective teams. Burning Man's education director, Stuart Mangrum, told us, "Behavioral psychology in the workplace has largely been Pavlovian and Taylorist to get people to do what you want them to do. Burning Man is about intrinsic motivation and radical inclusion."
From dumb to data. This predicts the rise of data and measurement, or telemetry, what we might call the science of work. Company leaders in the past dismissed office buildings as dumb containers, a cost rather than an investment. That's because these buildings yielded little actionable data that could be useful to the business or its people. Now, the office of the near future will be much smarter than before. Through sensing and video technologies, it will provide constant data flows that can inform evidence-based decision-making on everything, from HR policies and well-being to organizational structure and office redesign. Companies will embrace the data analytics, spatial intelligence, and sociometric technology that can give insights into both the performance of its people and its workplace. Artificial intelligence and machine learning will shape everything we do in the workplace, helping, for example, to reduce food waste or energy. As we say in the book, in the analog world of the 20s, frock-coated supervisors watched the backs of people's heads, leading to presenteeism. Today, digital measurement techniques focus on what people produce, their output, rather than the time they spend at the desk.
A learning number three, rethink learning itself. Large organizations such as banks and law firms have been so keen to mandate their people back to the office because they feel that company learning and mentoring of junior staff by senior partners has been suffering with the rise of remote work. But learning methods still based on being physically present in an office increasingly look past their sell-by date. We need to move beyond over-the-shoulder eavesdropping in open plan to something more sophisticated. Company leaders need to unwork traditional assumptions around training and development and find new digital and immersive ways to support employee learning. This might involve the use of virtual, mixed, or extended reality, even the metaverse, or the use of creative arts to coax different thought patterns and new ideas out of employees. One of the most innovative training programs we've seen is at NASA, where a designer in residence, Nelly Ben-Ayou, set up an international space orchestra from among the scientists on the NASA team. Most had never played a musical instrument before. The effect on breaking up groupthink was dramatic.
Unlearning number four. One size does not fit all. It never did, but even less so in the hybrid era. We argue in the book that company leaders should reverse their blind adherence to blunt economies of scale, universal planning, and high-density open plan. They should instead support a more heterogeneous approach. Future workforces will be multi-generational and more diverse in terms of ability, race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Workplaces will need to be inclusive, so that everyone feels welcomed and valued, irrespective of their differences. There is little point in recruiting more diverse talent, including neurodiverse people, within a wider perspective and capacity for innovation if the office is one size fits all and not itself inclusive of their needs. So inclusive design must be the way forward. Choice and variety is the order of the day. To do that and to provide the right experience, organizational decision-making may need some rewiring. If we think of work today as one continuum of the behavioral, the physical, and the digital, then why do we still need separate and siloed departments for HR, technology, and facilities? These silos should be forced to work more closely in harmony or junked altogether, replaced by a single team focused on delivering a unified employee experience. The same goes for leadership models. When one size no longer fits all, an old, heroic style of top-down leadership no longer applies. Emergent approaches, from compassionate leadership to agile methodology, or, for example, Stanley McChrystal's team of teams, need to now come to the fore.
Unlearning number five, rethink the urban realm. Our final insight is at the scale of the city. We've got to get away from the idea that city zoning and commuting patterns are set in stone, that the central business district, which so shaped the 20th century city, will be around forever. It won't. In the book, we explore a range of new ideas for the city as it adapts to the rise of hybrid working. We look at the 15-minute city, an idea born in the Sorbonne and implemented in Paris, with all work, shopping, leisure, education and healthcare deliberately grouped within a 15-minute walk or cycle from your home. We talk about City 2.0 with an operating system so that we can reboot the urban realm. And we discuss the future of the CBDs. Will the central business district be reinvented as the central social district? Already, we are seeing the rise of mixed-use urban developments which group together a range of functions, not just office towers. This is the blurring of working, living, shopping, leisure and culture. We call this trend intermix. The City of London, for example, has announced a strategy to bring more arts and culture into the square mile. Hybrid work will lead to the hybrid city.
A century of rigid orthodoxies and entrenched behaviours have been turned on their head by the pandemic. No longer is the office the only place where work can get done. It is part of a continuum of spaces that will change commuting patterns and our cities, the demand for and type of office buildings we need, and the very nature of the work that takes place within them and beyond.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jeremy and Philip. That was Jeremy Meyerson and Philip Ross with five big ideas from Unworking, the Reinvention of the Modern Office. For some related ideas, check out our book bite for Remote Work Revolution, How to Succeed from Anywhere. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.